Green Bay Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. We're talking some Packers football. We're wrapping up rookie orientation camp in Green Bay. It's now in the rearview mirror. It's a Monday morning. Rookie orientation camp wrapped up on Sunday in Green Bay, concluding 3 days of practice with the newest draft class of the Green Bay Packers. Not just the drafted players, but the undrafted rookies, the tryouts, all of those, even the first-year players, getting a look in Green Bay, kind of the first on-field work of the 2013 season. And lots of positive reports coming out of Green Bay. Of course, you wouldn't expect anything less. Nobody's going to talk about anything negative at this time of year. But, yeah, definitely a lot of items coming out of rookie orientation camp. And I think one of the biggest things to come out of camp was the chatter about the running backs. I mean, first of all, you could just go back to the NFL draft and see that the Packers were not wasting any time, not paying any lip service to the running game anymore. They got serious about it in drafting two highly rated running backs, Eddie Lacy and Jonathan Franklin. On top of that, adding two offensive linemen in the fourth round to help get that running game going on the offensive line, getting some push up front. And the attention, all eyes, were kind of on those running backs this weekend. But on top of that, the unexpected part of the weekend was the addition of a new running back that kind of is flying under the radar, I think, a little bit. His name is Angelo Peace. He is from Kansas State. He was an undrafted rookie, signed by the Packers immediately after the draft. They obviously saw something they liked in him, and when he got to Green Bay, head coach Mike McCarthy definitely saw some things he liked in Angelo Peace. You expected all the attention to be on Eddie Lacy, on Jonathan Franklin, and deservedly so. But what happened over the course of the weekend, Mike McCarthy in his press conferences over the course of two of them, talked about this Angelo Peace, without being prompted. You know, he just praised him basically, nobody asked him about him. McCarthy just during his press conferences was like, holy cow, this kid, he said he looked like Eddie Lacy. He said he showed some one cut explosiveness, which is really interesting that, all of a sudden you feel really good about the running back situation in Green Bay. You know, you kind of wonder where there's going to be room for any veterans. And, you know, we can temper our enthusiasm some a little bit in that, you know, it's a rookie camp. There were no veterans there. First-year players who might have been on the practice squad last year, things like that. But, they're not playing against any veterans. They were only in helmets and shorts. There were no shoulder pads, no hitting going on. So got to temper our enthusiasm a little bit here. But apart from that, you're really encouraged by this crop of running backs the Packers have. There was a lot of talk coming into the weekend about Eddie Lacy and his toe injury and the whole situation there. And, I don't think that's anything to be worried about until proven otherwise. You know, there was, as far as my knowledge, nothing happened this weekend to show any concern about Eddie Lacy, and his toe situation. So, until an injury pops up or until he's got to sit out or something like that, you know, I don't think there's room for any concern. They let the media into those practices the first day of rookie orientation camp on Friday. Saw a video of Eddie Lacy out there performing, catching some passes, running with the football. Didn't appear to be anything wrong with him from what I saw, albeit very limited video. John on the live blog says, you don't hear McCarthy rave about an undrafted free agent very often. Very true. You know, that they got this Angelo piece, and he had something like 96 carries over the course of his entire career at Kansas State. Not very much. And this was a good Kansas State team. You know, maybe that's part of the reason why. You know, they had Colin Klein there, that the offense kind of centered around him. Their own team, Tim Tebow-esque quarterback there at Kansas State the past two seasons. Colin Klein, but he was their like primary ball carrier. He really reminded me of Tim Tebow a lot in that he can just run over guys. But on top of that, actually, I had Kansas State's starting running back on my fantasy football team, my college fantasy football team last year. His name was John Hubert. I think he's an underclassman. I think he's still there. But he was their starter. So this Angelo Peace never played a whole lot. He never saw a lot of time at Kansas State. And you can kind of see that maybe the Packers kind of got a little bit of a steal here. You know, they kind of got this guy who's maybe flying under the radar because, you know, the Kansas State offense was kind of centered around Colin Klein. And they had another running back, this Hubert, that's, you know, okay. So they got this piece that never played all that much. And you see the Packers, you know, like something in him to make him an undrafted free agent right after the draft. And so now all of a sudden it's a crowded backfield in Green Bay. You know, you got the three rookies now, and that's on top of all the veterans you have. That's on top of James Starks, Alex Green, and DeJuan Harris. I mean, among them, DeJuan Harris, nobody's counting him out of the competition yet. I think he'll be an integral part of the offense. Maybe not, you know, the bell cow or whatever. But, I think DeJuan Harris will be part of the Packers offense. On top of that, you got these young guys, Lacy or Alex Green and James Starks. I can't see both of them making the roster this year. I think it's one or the other. And I don't even think, you know, that's guaranteed. You know, I could see a situation where both Alex Green and James Starks are gone. Not, you know, again, not that I'm making that decision already here in May. But, it, you know, it's those guys are long shots. They're health question marks. I mean, if you're a Packers fan, you know that James Starks has not been healthy like almost any season he's been in Green Bay. You know, he's constantly missing games with various, you know, sorts of injuries. Alex Green, of course, had the ACL tear his rookie year, came back last year and was really kind of slow coming back from that injury. So, I mean, those guys are duking it out for maybe one roster spot because of all these rookies coming in and looking awesome. So, yeah, the running game in Green Bay really kind of taking off here. Really kind of, you know, if you're a fan of the Packers, you're feeling good about the Packers offense in general. Because you know they've got the explosive passing game already. You know that. On top of that, now it's just a matter of, you know, getting that running game to complement it. And you think like, wow, I can easily do that, you know, especially with Eddie Lacy getting the tough carries, the short yardage stuff, grinding out the tough yards. You think he can do that? And then you got, you know, the complementary backs like Jonathan Franklin and DeJuan Harris. And I think those guys can, you know, calling them just complimentary backs, I think is a little bit
of you know a diss because I think those guys are capable of you know being more. I think they could be a lead back, you know, if need be, if given the chance. DeJuan Harris and Jonathan Franklin have those type of skills where they could be a lead back in an offense. You know, durability is a question with both those guys, whether they're big enough to take a pounding, but there's no reason to think they couldn't either. John asked on the live blog, my question is, do you see them cutting Kuhn? You know, it's tough to say right now what the Packers are going to do at the fullback situation. They just signed a fullback over the weekend, reportedly. I'm going to get to that in a second here. Another one of the bigger stories coming out, rookie orientation camp. But, yeah, I mean, you know, just 2 years ago, both in 2010 and 2011, the Packers kept three fullbacks on the roster. John Kuhn, Corey Hall, Quinn Johnson, three fullbacks. And they're like the only team in the league that did that. You're like, holy cow, three fullbacks. What are you doing, Mike McCarthy? And they've seemed to get away with that starting last year in which John Kuhn was the only guy in Green Bay. They're cutting back on the fullback situation. The question is, you know, are they going to cut it out completely? Maybe they'll go to the H-back kind of thing where they kind of got those tight end type of players acting as a fullback. You know, Tom Crabtree kind of, you know, held that role a little bit, as did DJ Williams and Ryan Taylor to an extent. But, you know, John Kuhn has the fairly large contract. What is John Kuhn getting paid? Something like over $2 million a season? And you're like, is he really worth that much money? You know, I'm not willing to say they're going to get rid of Kuhn yet. John asked, so could you see them keeping five running backs and zero fullbacks? You know, I guess it's just too early to tell at this point. It's a possibility. I wouldn't rule it out. I think five running backs would be a lot. Five halfbacks. Although you can kind of argue that maybe Eddie Lacy could be kind of a fullback. But, we'll see how things play out. I mean, first of all, these guys got to stay healthy. I mean, you can easily see a running back go down at some point in training camp. I mean, you know, I knock on wood, I don't hope that happens, but it has a way of happening, you know. So, you just kind of have to let things play out, see how John Kuhn does, give him the opportunity to keep his job. And, you know, it's something that'll play out during training camp. You know, I could see him going without a fullback maybe, but you know, there's still a spot on the team for a fullback, you know, obviously. You know, they've been making use of that position for years. So, it's kind of hard to cut it out now in a way. But the Packers reportedly signed three tryout players. So as it goes, you know, that the Packers in the rookie orientation camp, they have the drafted players. They have all the undrafted signees who they signed to contracts. And then they had, like, I think as the reports go, they had 27 players in for tryouts this past weekend. The Packers had 27 tryouts. And, you know, that's a large number. And the Packers had like six roster spots open. And I'm not sure all six of those roster spots are going to go to undrafted rookies. But they've apparently at least offered three of them contracts now. And this comes from, the report comes from Bill Huber of Packer Report. And I know that others have reported it as well. Maybe not all three of these, or maybe they've, you know, reported some of them. I think they did at the Green Bay Press Gazette as well. But, you know, I think the most complete report here was from Packer Report, in which the Packers have now signed three additional players. So, to my knowledge, the Packers roster is now at 87 players. And you know, these are just the ones that have been reported. The Packers themselves haven't announced anything yet. So for all we know, they could have signed four or five. It, you know, they might even announce that here at some point on Monday. But here we go. Here's the newest additions to the Packers roster. Brandon Smith from Arizona State, and he's, you know, technically not even a first-year rookie. He was actually a senior in 2011. Last year was his rookie year in the NFL. What he was is he was a wide receiver at Arizona State. He didn't catch a whole lot of passes there. Was not really a big part of their offense. But anyway, you know, another one of those guys flying under the radar. He actually went to training camp with the Seattle Seahawks last year and got cut. And anyway, the Packers have tried to convert him into a cornerback. And here's where it's interesting. Brandon Smith here, the guy is 6'1", and he's been timed in the 40-yard dash as running 4.39 seconds. So this is a sub-4.4 guy. And he has a 40-inch vertical. So this guy really has some very impressive measurables. To be 6'1", to be a tall, I mean, that's a tall cornerback. I mean, that's the size you want your cornerbacks to be ideally, but you don't always find them that tall, 6'1", and that fast. So you're getting a 6'1" guy who runs a 4.39 40. So this guy really has the measurables. I mean, he's going to be raw as hell. No doubt about it. He's going to be raw. He's, you know, you can kind of look at him a little bit like what the Packers did with Sam Shields to an extent. I see John's thinking the same thing as I am on the live blog there. Almost a Sam Shields type. Yeah, you know, Sam Shields, as you remember, played wide receiver at Miami. Packers converted him to cornerback. Going to try to do the same thing here. It's going to take some time with this guy, no doubt about it. But this is a guy who's got the size and speed, and you're like, wow, you know, if he just learns the position a little bit, this guy could be scary. You know, this guy, you know, has what it takes, maybe, you know, from a size speed ratio standpoint. So that's one to keep an eye on. You know, could be the type of guy they keep on their practice squad all year, and you know, we'll see where he is a year from now. A lot of way to go, but another one the Packers have kept now, a true wide receiver, Tyrone Walker out of Illinois State, and what's interesting here is how many guys the Packers have from Illinois State on their roster. They went and drafted Nate Palmer in the NFL draft, the outside linebacker. Then they went and signed the quarterback as an undrafted free agent, Matt Brown, kind of the Packers' number four quarterback right now. Who knows? Could even be their number three by the time all things are said and done. But so now they have Tyrone Walker out of Illinois State. So this is the guy who is Matt Brown's target at Illinois State. He is their all-time leading receiver with 250 career college receptions. So that's a pretty high number, 250. Has over 3,500 career receiving yards and 32 touchdowns. So a very, very productive college wide receiver. Again, at the FCS level, though. You know, 1AA. So not, you know, this guy wasn't playing in the SEC by any means. But the report is he's 5'10", 191 pounds, ran 4.59 seconds in the 40, and has a 39-inch vertical. So, intriguing guy, a guy with a lot of college production, but a small school guy. So, an intriguing guy, but it's going to take some time here to see what the Packers have on their hands. Finally, the last reported signing that we know of is Jonathan Amosa of Washington. So this is a big school guy. He's a fullback, and he's now the third fullback on the Packers roster. So, of course, joining John Kuhn, who we've already talked about, and the other one the Packers had already signed prior to that was Ryan Roberson, a fullback from the University of Texas. So two young guys here, both undrafted rookies, Roberson and Amosa now, joining the mix at fullback. So, you know, the Packers definitely, as of yet, are not phasing out the fullback position in Green Bay, but we'll kind of see how training camp plays out here. You know, I've kind of been of the opinion here, and I remember talking about this with our own Zach Cruz a little bit as we had communicated on email, and I was telling Zach, you know, now that the Packers have Eddie Lacy, they have Jonathan Franklin, I am like, they now need a, if they're going to use a fullback, the Packers need a jackhammer fullback. They don't need a guy who touches the ball whatsoever anymore. The Packers don't need John Kuhn touching the ball anymore at all, unless Eddie Lacy for some reason gets injured, maybe. Outside of, you know, catching a few passes, nothing wrong with doing that, you know, kind of being an outlet wide receiver. John Kuhn can still touch the ball receiving, but there's no reason for him to be carrying the football outside of maybe one or two surprise carries a year, you know. So that's what the Packers need out of the fullback position. So I think what they're trying to find out here is if these guys are that type of player. Is Ryan Roberson or Jonathan Amosa a jackhammer fullback? Amosa is 5'11", 233 pounds. He's not fast. He ran the 40 in 4.93 seconds at his pro day, but he is strong. Had apparently 34 reps on the bench press. That is of 225 pounds. So, he started his career as a linebacker at Washington. I think he played there his first 2 years of college, and then the last two he played at fullback. And he rarely touched the football. It says from this article from Bill Huber at Packer Report, he got three passes for 26 yards, including one touchdown. So he only touched the ball total three times all year. And I don't see anything, at least in this article, about carries at all. They were all catches. They were all receptions. So this is a guy who definitely not used to handling the football. So maybe he is your jackhammer type of fullback. So I think that's what the Packers need. That's what they could use. They really need your prototypical lead blocker who lines up, you know, in the I formation right behind the quarterback in the 3-point stance and just explodes through the hole and just drives people back. And that's basically all he does. You know, he's a good pass blocker, ideally. He's a guy who can catch the ball if you need him to, as an outlet option. You know, when Aaron Rodgers can't find anybody else, he can unload a little dump pass to the fullback. But they need blockers at the fullback position more than anything. So, yeah, I mean, when you talk about running backs and fullbacks in the rookie class, I mean, these are the things that, you know, were really stood out of the rookie orientation camp completed this weekend. So I thought those were some of the most interesting things. What else happened at rookie camp this past weekend? You got your first look at Daytone Jones, first round draft choice. You're not going to get too hyped up about anything that happened on the field, but everything you heard from Daytone Jones this past weekend is good. You know, everything he says is the right thing, and that's all good to hear. You know, it just sounds like he's got his head screwed on straight. He wants to be the best. You know, there's a difference between wanting and actually going out and doing it. But again, you know, everything you hear from Dayton Jones and everything you hear from Mike McCarthy about it, it's all positive. It's all good. So that's a good thing. He did say he's currently 285 pounds, and he said during an interview he expects to play between 285, his current weight, and 290. So that's what you're going to see, 285 to 290 probably. So maybe packing on just a few more pounds, but, you know, again, I was kind of concerned about that, you know, a guy who's 285, 290, you know, not to say that those guys can't succeed at those at that size, but, you know, that's tough to play the five technique and then even sliding in inside a five technique, you know, from the zero to anywhere else, you know, and be 285 pounds and not get pushed around. Justin Smith of San Francisco does it. J.J. Watt does it at 295, so he is a little bit more. But there aren't too many guys who are 285 and don't get pushed around, so has me a little bit concerned, but not to say he can't do it. So we're waiting to see that from Dayton Jones. What else did we see at rookie camp this past weekend? I think you saw a couple of those guys who were on the practice squad last year, who were getting a chance at rookie camp because they haven't played a down in the NFL. Guys like B.J. Coleman at quarterback, he was there and he kind of took part in camp. And then Andrew Datko, the offensive lineman, took part, and those guys kind of stood out a little bit. At least, you know, the media made, you know, put some attention on them because, you know, B.J. Coleman has a chance here to be the number two quarterback this year. He'll be given that opportunity. He showed strides apparently to those in attendance and according to head coach Mike McCarthy in his brief comments on him. And then Andrew Datko, and I suppose we could talk a little bit about the configuration of the offensive line. You know, the media was could attend the first practice only on Friday at rookie camp. So they didn't see anything that happened Saturday and Sunday. But they were there Friday, and apparently the rookie camp offensive line from left to right was at left tackle, David Bakhtiari, the first offensive lineman drafted by the Packers this past weekend. The left guard was Andrew Datko, the Packers' seventh rounder in 2012, so last year. And what was interesting a little bit about that is Andrew Datko had been used at tackle exclusively prior to this point. So now he's getting a little bit of a look at guard. Not to say that, you know, that's his going to be his position going forward, but they're at least looking at him there. At center was Garth Gerhart, a guy who was a rookie last year, spent a little bit of time on the Packers practice squad, but he's kind of one of those true center type of players that the Packers possibly looking at to back up Evan Dietrich Smith. At right guard, they had Lane Taylor, the undrafted rookie out of Oklahoma State. And then at right tackle, the Packers had J.C. Treader, another fourth-round draft choice of the Packers this year. And Mike McCarthy acknowledged that was just for one practice. You know, he said, don't get, you know, read too much into where these guys are lining up. He said it could change the very next day. In fact, he expected, I think he said, David Bakhtiari and J.C. Treader to switch sides of the line, left tackle and right tackle, and see how they play there. And, I think that's good for rookie minicamp for the first time ever, seeing if these guys can handle the tackle positions, especially Bakhtiari and Treader. You know, seeing how they look there. Are they comfortable there? Can they handle it there? Do they have the speed Can they handle the edge rushers there? Things like that. And if you got to move them later on, so be it. But I think that's fine during this little rookie mini camp to check them out there first and see how they're doing there. Can Bakhtiari end up playing left tackle? Does he have what it takes to back up Brian Bulaga there? Or do both those guys join the mix at right tackle? The position that is, you know, ostensibly wide open. You know, who's going to win the right tackle position now in Green Bay? There's no shortage of candidates, from Marshall Newhouse to Don Barclay to David Bakhtiari to Derek Sherrod to J.C. Treader to Andrew Datko. You know, how many? That's six guys right there who have the chance to win the job if they're impressive. You know, interesting situation there, that the Packers have going on, the, you know, open competition at right tackle. So kind of, you got a little bit of a look where these guys are being looked at this weekend, on the offensive line. John asks on the live blog, I like Don Barclay, but could he potentially be a better fit at guard? Yeah, I think we talked about that last week here, didn't we? I think so. I think Don Barclay might be your, like, perhaps the Packers, like, number one backup on the entire team. The versatile guy who can play almost any position on the offensive line. But yeah, he might be a better fit at guard than he is at tackle, perhaps. But, you know, not to say if he's the best candidate at right tackle. I mean, he deserves it as well. Again, one of those things that will play itself out over the course of the offseason, over OTAs, minicamp, into training camp later this summer. All these situations that'll, you know, play out over the course of the next 2 months or so. But, yeah, you know, that kind of wraps up rookie mini camp in Green Bay, the things that went on. There was a lot of other tryout players. We kind of sit here and wait. The Packers, for them to officially announce the signings, they're, like I said, my count is the Packers roster is now at 87. There's three more open spots. They probably sign one or two more undrafted guys. And then again, There might be that one spot open for the veteran safety. The Packers still, it's the now the thinnest position on the team at safety. They've only got five of them on a 90-man roster. They really need at least one more guy there, I think. Watch that situation closely, what the Packers are going to do there. Whether, you know, they end up signing another undrafted free agent, perhaps, but they need somebody there. Because as it stands right now, they didn't sign any of the undrafted rookies. So watch the safety position. But tailgate tour starts tomorrow. And John asks, when do OTAs start? They start next week. So the Packers calendar going forward here is, I think, you know, the off-season workout program continues this week. You know, the guys, the veterans stay in Green Bay. They hit the weights. They do the IPWs, the individual positional workouts. And then tailgate tour starts tomorrow, 5-day tour of the state of Wisconsin, plus they go to Iowa this year. That'll be a lot of attention on that the rest of this week. And then next week, OTAs start. So practices, full team practices start next week. I think there's one open to the public next Tuesday. Yeah, as Dre Divac points out on our live blog, they just announced family night taking place on August 3rd this year. So throw that in your calendar. Packers just announced it this morning. Family night scrimmage, August 3rd. Open to the public. If you want your chance to check out Lambeau Field, August 3rd. So that's going to do it for a Monday morning here, folks. We'll be back on Wednesday once again. For the time being, we'll see you later, folks. I'm Brian Kirov on behalf of Jamie Jorges and everybody at Cheesehead TV. We'll see you later every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at Railbird Central, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, live, every episode podcasted later. I leave you today with a song called Texas Town by Honky Tonk Homeslice. on Psi Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go, Pack, go.